WUKY presents stories from whowelostky.org, a project where friends and family who've lost someone to COVID-19 remember, write, document, and heal.
Hi, I'm Martha Greenwald, curator of whowelostky.org, a collection of stories remembering Kentuckians we have lost to the pandemic. Our story today is written by Darlene Hapanik, who lost John, her husband of 37 years. Donna Jo Thorndale reads. It's called John and Me.
37 years is a long time, and yet not nearly enough. I thought I was looking for something to read when I went into the bookstore at the Paducah Mall. Instead, I found the love of my life. I nearly lost him twice. The first time was when he was working as a contract chemical engineer in Baton Rouge, Louisiana, living out of a hotel room when he came down with a mystery illness. The ER in Louisiana was no help. He had a terrible headache, and when he was able to drive, he packed up his things and came home to me. 4 months, 5 doctors, and 7 spinal taps, and dozens of tests, and finally, we had the diagnosis of Cryptococcus neoformans. Fungal meningitis. He lost sight in one eye and he became deaf in one ear, and he only had partial hearing in the other, but he was still my John and we managed just fine, though with a little bit more yelling. I stayed with him for weeks in the hospital, even sleeping in the bed with him. His doctor would peek around the door before coming in and say, "Good morning, lovebirds." We were stronger together and nothing could come between us. Once his doctor cleared him to drive, the first thing he did was go fishing at Kentucky Lake, where he cast off his wedding ring. He'd lost so much weight, it just went flying off into the water. I bought him another on eBay. This one is plain gold, and it has 2 sets of initials in it with the date November 11, 1936, which we teased was our new anniversary. I'm wearing it now. 2 years after being cured of the fungal meningitis, we'd moved to Robinson, Illinois, where John worked at Marathon Petroleum, and he fell ill again. I gave him a couple aspirins, and we went to a local doctor who turned out to be a terrible diagnostician. Finally, I gave up. I took John to the ER, where he was diagnosed with heart failure, liver failure, kidney failure. The aspirin probably saved his life, the ER doctor said. They sent him to a much bigger hospital in Indianapolis for heart surgery. And his surgeon, Dr. Hormuth, he said that maybe only 2 of 10 heart surgeons would even operate on a person as sick as John. Dr. Hormuth, he has a huge ego. But, I mean, when you routinely, literally hold someone's life in your hands, you can be justified thinking that you're God's gift. He played in a jazz band after hours, too. So, I mean, you have to love that. I stayed with John in the cardiac ICU till a grumpy nurse one night told me to leave. And after I left him, John's stats, they went a bit bonkers. And he kept that nurse so busy trying to make him comfortable. After a while, she finally asked if he wanted her to go and get me. "No," he said, "but maybe you'll let her stay tomorrow." And she did. These last 12 years here in Somerset have been pretty good for the most part. Our kids, Stacy and Michael, have both grown up. Stacy always felt like more of a northerner than a southerner, and now she lives in Connecticut, so Michael is still at home. And it's been a blessing, really, to me these last few months since John died. I mean, they're both a wreck missing their dad, and me too. You know, it occurred to me that I've loved John for 37 years, and that is a long time, more than half my life. Stacy and Michael have loved him their entire lives, and he was a great dad and an even better friend and husband. Shortly after Christmas, John was hospitalized with the virus. After a couple of weeks, he was put on a ventilator and sedated. But just before the nurse gave him a sheet of paper, and on it he wrote, "Darlene, I love you, JPH. I had the piece of paper framed so he can tell me that he loves me every day. You can only stay on a ventilator so long before it really just starts working against you. His last week in ICU, they finally let Michael and me visit for a while. And I realized what a blessing this was. You know, most people don't get the chance to sit with their loved ones. His nurse told me that all the nurses who had taken care of him were crying and were just so upset that they hadn't been able to save him. And I said, well, he must have been a pretty good patient. And she said, that's not it. She said, we're all upset because he loves you so much and was so worried about you. I held his hand and hugged him while he took his last breaths. He just stopped breathing. There was no struggle, just peaceful rest. His heart kept beating because his pacemaker was doing its duty, even though his lungs could not. And the nurse used a magnet to quiet the device. And my John was gone.
Thanks to all of the writers that have shared stories with us. You can read more stories or share a story of your own at whoweLostKY.org.
There's more stories from the Who We Lost Project at our website, WUKY.org. We've also posted a link so you can submit your own essay at whoweLostKY.org.